You're listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. We are currently in a series called Minor Prophets, where we are studying the books of Hosea, Joel, Amos, and Obadiah. These books were written to the nation of Israel after they had turned their back on God. They offer a plan of restoration through the coming Messiah, Jesus, who will heal and redeem what their sin had broken. The good news is this. If you want to know how to put a life back together or want to pursue healing in relationships that have been devastated by sin, these books are just for you.
Well, hey, Three Creeks, my name is John Scott IV, and I get to be the Connections Pastor here. I want to welcome back those who have been with us in this message series, and also want to extend a big welcome to those who may be joining us for the first time. We are honored and glad that you guys have chosen to be with us today. We are going to continue along in our message series called Minor Prophets Season 1, and it's through this message series that we are looking at four minor prophet books and seeing how those messages spoken back then still apply to us in some sense here today. Now, and particularly today, in today's message, we are going to dive into the book of Amos. But before we do so, I would feel terrible if I didn't share with you what I'm about to say to you now. The book of Amos is 9 chapters long, and there is no way that in this short message that I'm about to give here in a few minutes, that I could cover all the important content in this message. And so what I want to challenge us as a church, or even those who may just be joining in and watching from afar, is that in the near future that you find some time to go and read through the book of Amos on yourself. Also, on your group guides, for those of us who are in community groups, I want to challenge you guys to go and look into our Dive Deeper section of the group guides. For this particular message series, we have conjugated up just some very great questions that are going to help you to dive deeper into these minor prophet books that we're covering in this message series. So be sure to check that out, as it will give you an overview, a huge or deeper look into the minor prophet books that we will be covering. But for today's sake, we are going to start off by, giving you guys a brief overview of the book of Amos. And after I do that, we're going to park and dive into one particular section that I believe is going to be great for us to hear and leave us encouraged and challenged to go out and do what God has called us to do. So the book of Amos, as I stated before, is 9 chapters long. Amos himself is a shepherd and a fig tree farmer from a town in the southern kingdom called Tekoa. Now, if you guys can recall back to the Clarity series, this is around the time where the kingdoms have split. So you have 10 tribes that went up to the northern kingdom and established the northern kingdom, and also is named Israel. And you had 2 tribes that stayed down south that established the southern kingdom, also known as Judah. So Amos resides in the southern kingdom in a town called Tekoa. His name literally means burden. That's a crazy name to name your child. No offense to those watching named Amos, but I'm saying that is a hard meaning of a name to bear. But his name literally means burden. And maybe it speaks to, as we will maybe see throughout this this message, it speaks to just the burden that he had to go and share to the northern kingdom and speak on behalf of God. But let's look and dive into Amos chapter 7 and see how Amos describes himself. I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. You see, Amos in this chapter is saying this whole prophecy thing or prophet thing was nothing that I was trained in or born into. I was tending to my flock. I was tending to the fig trees, and God called me to come and share with you here in Israel. And so here I am. When you read through the book of Amos, Amos's personality sort of gives off this, like, sort of what you see is what you get. That's the type of guy he is. He is a very straightforward guy. Not much tact that is used in communicating to people. He is just this is what I'm here to do, and this is what I'm going to say, and you guys need to listen. And we see that he is a resident of the southern kingdom, but God had called him to go to the northern kingdom to speak on his behalf, to be his mouthpiece, to call the people of Israel back to righteousness. Now, we need to get an overview as to what is actually going on to the point that God is calling Amos to go up to the northern kingdom and that of Israel and call them back to righteousness. The book starts off with Amos having this opening line to say, hey, I am here to address Israel. I'm here to address the northern kingdom. But it's interesting, he says that, but the whole first chapter is this judgment that he is sharing with these neighboring towns of Israel. It's not actually Amos coming and sharing the judgment to Israel itself. And so it's interesting that he starts off by saying, hey, I'm here to address Israel in their sin. But the whole first chapter, as you will read and dive into maybe later on yourself, you will see that he is addressing the sin issues of neighboring towns to Israel. But it's all to paint this picture that these neighboring towns were not God's chosen people. These neighboring towns were not the people that God had drawn out to say, hey, you are my people. You are to be the example to others. But God is, what it was happening here is a picture is being painted of the sin issues of all these neighboring towns. And we see at the beginning of chapter 2, it zeroes in on Israel being at the center of all of those neighboring towns. And actually what Amos does is he shows how these sin issues of these other neighboring towns are terrible, but Israel itself lies right in the crosshair, and they are just as bad, if not worse, than the neighboring towns that were not even God's people that were called in the first place to be an example to the world. And so in chapter 2, Amos kicks off by giving the indictments and the judgment that is to come upon Israel for their sin. And I'm telling you, around this time, the northern kingdom was being ran by Jeroboam II, who was this great militant leader. He had accumulated tons of new territory for the northern kingdom and also a lot of wealth for them. And all of that led to apathy, to the point where they were worshiping other gods for neighboring towns, and they were neglecting the poor and turning a blind eye to the unjust. And so this was an issue. This was a problem. Let's read in chapter 2, and we will see, like, in depth some of the issues, the sin issues that the northern kingdom was struggling with. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I would not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. They trample helpless people in the dust and shove the oppressed out of the way. Both father and son sleep with the same woman, corrupting my holy name. At their religious festivals, they lounge in clothing their debtors put up as security. In the house of their gods, they drink wine brought with unjust fines. So we see from this passage that the northern kingdom has some really big sin issues, especially in being those who were called by God to be his people, to be his example to the world. They had some very huge sin issues going on. Now, over the next couple chapters, like coming out of chapter 2, Amos will continue to give these indictments and these judgments that's to come upon the northern kingdom. But what I love in, I want to say in chapter 4, like God's mercy and grace is shown. And it's shown in a way that I believe that we wouldn't necessarily look at and say, like, man, I see that as mercy. But it's interesting. God tells the northern kingdom through Amos, hey, I've been trying to get you guys' attention for some time now. He says, look, I destroyed some of your farms, but still you wouldn't return to me. You wouldn't take that as a hint of like, hey, this is a problem. I'm getting your attention to turn back to me. I destroyed some of your cities. I sent plagues your way. And still, you guys remained stubborn and wanted to do things your way. And so now, you guys will definitely not go unpunished for what you're doing. And I'm telling you, like, this is interesting that God is like enlightening them on, there have been many times where I've tried to show my mercy upon you guys, but you remain stubborn and wanting to do things your way. So this particular time, I am not gonna allow you guys to go unpunished. And we know Amos begins to share with the northern kingdom that there is going to be an army that is going to uprise and come and overtake them and scatter them. And again, if we were to refer back to clarity last year, at the end of last year, we know that some 40 plus years later, that became true. The Assyrian army rose up into power and came and scattered the northern kingdom about. As you continue on in the next couple of chapters of Amos, getting to probably chapters 6 through 9, there are about 5 visions that Amos have. And chapter 9 is actually a pretty cool chapter because the whole book ends with a glimmer of hope that Amos gives of one day the people returning. We won't have the chance to dive into that, but in an overview, that is the book of Amos. You have him going to the northern kingdom, talking to the leaders there, talking to the people there, approaching them about their sin and the judgment that is to come, sharing with them how God showed his mercy and how they don't want to listen. I mean, when you read through this book, you will see how arrogant, religiously arrogant, the people of the northern kingdom were. They didn't look at Amos as who he said that he was. I mean, they just completely disregarded him and being the mouthpiece for God that was calling them back to righteousness. And it cost them a ton. And I believe for us, man, it's so valuable and very important for us to heed just what's going on here in this text. Because I think that I believe without a shadow of a doubt in my heart that God is even saying some of those very things for us today. We are going to park in Amos chapter 5 because I believe that is what is taking place there is very big, and I think it's something that we as a people are right in the thick of. And if, like I said, if we don't take heed to this, this could be something that could be very detrimental to us as a church, to us as God's people. So, as I stated before, the people of God in the northern kingdom were all about just wealth and this all new territory that they had gained, and it created just a bunch of apathy that built up in their heart, that they had no care, no worry for the poor. They completely neglected them and they completely turned their backs to the unjust. But you could not have told the northern kingdom people that they were not living according to how God wanted them to live. Because simultaneously, while they were neglecting the poor, they were seeking to honor God through tithes and offerings and their religious meetings that they would attend. And this was very much so a problem. So much so a problem that, again, God sends Amos up there to speak on his behalf. And we find a verse or a passage in Amos chapter 5 of God addressing the northern kingdom on this issue. And this is what he says. "I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and your grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living." In this passage, we see God telling the northern kingdom, get out of here with your hypocrisy. You guys sacrifice to me, you bring all these peace offerings, you sing these songs of praise, all the while you are neglecting the injustice around you and you are neglecting the poor. Get out of here. He's displeased. And I'm telling you, the northern kingdom really thought that they were in God's good graces. Instead, what God tells them in this passage is that he desires to see justice and righteousness roll like a flood. That true worship is not this idea of accomplishing some religious acts and doing religious things, but true worship to God is to let justice and righteousness roll like a running stream. In other words, true worship to God is to always lead to justice, righteousness, and loving our neighbor. Three Creeks, if you don't hear me say anything else today, I want you guys to lean in a little bit deeper to hear this. That true worship to God should always lead to justice, righteousness, and loving our neighbor. It should always lead to justice, righteousness, and loving our neighbor. Now, hear me say this. I'm not saying that us attending church or tithing or doing other things that we've been called to do and reading our Bible in prayer, I'm not saying neglect those things, but I'm saying those things not paired with the act of carrying out justice and righteousness and loving our neighbors means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And this is the problem that was plaguing the Northern Kingdom. They felt as though they was in the good graces of God because they were doing all these religious acts, but they weren't, because they were neglecting the fact of walking and leading out in justice, walking in righteousness, and loving their neighbor. You see, Israel's worship to God was totally disconnected from the way of how they treated people. And one thing I know to be true is that true worship to God, or a true relationship with God, transform our relationships with others. And I love how 1 John puts it. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have for him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. You see, you can't truly worship God without engaging in both of these matters. That you can't just seek only to do things that go into church or tithing or reading our word, all the while neglecting the unjust and neglecting the poor. These things have to be done together. True worship, as we see from the book of Amos here, is that we walk in justice, righteousness, and our love for our brother. This is what honors God. You see, Amos, like so many other prophets, spoke heavily against social injustice that they were experiencing around their time. And Three Creeks, I believe the same is true for us today, that we must speak out against social injustice. Injustice that is happening around us, these are the things that we can't turn a blind eye to. God has a heart for the widows, for the oppressed, for the abused, for the poor. And if we're honest, that was us. That was all us at one point. And if the Northern Kingdom was honest, that was them too. I mean, God had delivered them out of the hands, out of slavery of Egypt, and here they are being a complete replica of what Egypt was to them, to the poor and unjust. And what I'm saying today is that this can't be us. We too have a role to play in injustice around us. And that role does not consist of us turning our backs or turning a blind eye to the injustice that is happening around us. For the widow, for and the orphanage, for those who maybe are poor on the side of the road, wherever God has called us to infiltrate and engage in those spaces. Now, I don't know, for whatever reason, why this becomes a hard thing for us, but there are two barriers that I think keep us from actually engaging in bringing about justice to where there is injustice and walking in righteousness in this idea of bringing back into right standing these relationships with people. The first barrier I think that is very prevalent is this idea or this mindset of out of sight, out of mind. And the out of sight, out of mind mentality says, this isn't my issue. I'm not experiencing it. I'm good. And so you don't even like look, or you're not even aware as to what is happening around you to even be engaged to do something. And this can't be the issue. I mean, the book of Amos is here. We have to deal with what it's talking about in that of social injustice. And I believe God is calling us as followers of him to infiltrate and do something about that. The second barrier, I think, very much so keeps us from engaging into this space is that of this worldview versus biblical view. And what that ideology is I believe we get so caught up, even us as believers, in allowing the world to dictate the culture or take the lead in this area that God has called the church to step into and be the forefronters in this and leading this charge. And we just go, well, you know, that's, I don't know if that's the church's responsibility. I don't know if that's where we step in and engage. Like, is that a gospel issue? If it's not a gospel issue, I don't know. And I'm telling you that God has called us to be the thermostat as it becomes to correct an injustice around us. He's called us to be the thermostat in leading out in righteousness and how we treat people and bringing back into right standing in those relationships. He's called us to be that. And if I could just be honest with you, Three Creeks, for a minute, as I read through the book of Amos, my heart was broken. I was convicted in a lot of ways because, if I'm honest, I find myself a lot of times in the category of out of sight, out of mind. That in no way do I look a lot of times for moments to help out in these people group that I feel like God has called us to defend and be a mouthpiece for and to seek to bring about justice for. I don't oftentimes find myself there. I get self-centered in the Scott family, we're good, we're taken care of. And it hurts to say, I promise you, there are moments where I'm riding down Morris and I see people with signs saying homeless, anything can help. And out of nowhere, magically, I got a text that I have to look on my phone and see to not have this awkward, make this awkward eye connection with them to feel guilty or bad. But I'm saying it breaks my heart for even myself that I have moments and times where this has not been something on the forefront of my mind. This has not been something that I have looked at as near and dear to God's heart to step in and say, man, I have a role to play in serving and defending and bringing about justice to where there's injust and not sitting on the sideline and being self-centered about myself. And I pray that, guys, that we would see that as a church, that when there is injustice happening around us, that instead of running away from or turning a blind eye to, that we would run to it with the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about justice and righteousness to that situation. That we would do it with this undeniable love of trying to love our neighbors as Christ has first loved us. This is what God has called the church to. And if we're honest, this is what we have to grow in. This is not something that we have, in my experience, walked out well. Maybe for some of us, we could say, you know, I do this and I do that to contribute to this, but I'm saying collectively together as the Big C Church, we have to be better at fighting for justice and walking in righteousness to repair those relationships. As we get ready to end today, I want to leave you guys with this passage that I read earlier this week. Blessed are those who observe justice and do righteousness all the time. Three Creeks, it's my desire, but more importantly, your Heavenly Father's desire that you would be blessed because you observe justice and you walk out righteous. I don't know where you are in this area of bringing about justice and righteousness, but I pray and challenge you guys that this week you will begin to pray and cry out to God that He would bring about awareness to you where you could bring about justice to where there is injustice, where you could love those who can't defend themselves, that you could step into those spaces to care for them and seek to love them with the love of Christ, and that we will be a people that truly worship God in this full totality and walking out what He has called us to do in spiritual disciplines, but also in loving our neighbors. God said for us to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And He said the same is true and is equal in loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I pray that we don't forget that we seek to love God, that we seek to truly worship God by how we love one another, bringing about justice and righteousness. I pray that you are blessed, considered blessed, because you are a man and that you are a woman that seeks to observe justice and righteousness, and knowing that that brings huge joy to the heart of your Heavenly Father. Three Creeks, let's be men and women that do it. I love you guys, and I hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in more information about our church, getting connected with a community group, or attending one of our upcoming in-person gatherings, please visit 3creekschurch.com.